Greetings from Barcelona, Spain, as the Matchroom Boxing Global Expansion continues this Friday night live on DAZN with a night of championship boxing. I'm your host of Matchroom Radio, David Diamante, and we're bringing you some exclusive sound bites from some of the fighters and those involved in the show over the next couple of days. We're going to hear from the European super lightweight champion Sandor Martin a bit later, but first up, I am delighted to be joined by the B-side of our main event, challenger Kay Prosper and his coach Xavier Miller. Gentlemen, great to see you. How are you keeping?
Great to see you. We're good. We're in the building.
In the building, man. Ready to go. Ready to rock and roll.
You guys are in the edificio, as they say here in Spain, I guess. The weather's not quite what we thought it would be down here in Barcelona, is it?
No, not quite.
But maybe you guys brought the English weather. It's a little bit overcast and...
That's the truth. Home comfort, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. So, Kay, first of all, this is a voluntary defense from Sandor. Where were you when you got the call about this fight? You must have been pretty thrilled.
Oh, I was over the moon. I was, I was just at home contemplating where we were going to go next, because obviously I had my English title was up for defending. So that was what we was thinking about. And then I got the phone call to say that Sandor Martin had put the option to me. And I just jumped at it with both hands and was just like, yeah, raring to go straight away. Like, I would never look past not fighting Sandor for the European title.
Yeah, Xavier, as a coach, when these chances come around, especially in the current pandemic circumstances, is it a case of just kind of, you know, you got to stay ready and when the call comes, you just jump at the opportunity?
Yeah, as I said to all my boxers, you know, I've been in Portugal for, you know, the best part of the last 12 months. But I told them all to just keep ticking over and, you know, the phone call might come. And it came, I was really happy. You know, Steve Goodwin, Kay's manager's done a really good job with him. You know, got him an English title shot, he won that. And now we get this opportunity. So I'm just really over the moon for Kay, because obviously his majority of his career has been under the radar. He now gets to, you know, headline in Spain, and it's like a dream come true for him. So I'm just really, really happy about it.
Yeah, it's great. And like you said, we are here in Spain. And Kay, you know, you've had one fight outside of London. Your last fight was in Dunstable, yeah?
Yeah.
Against Bilal Rehman. So this is kind of a big step outside from, you know, we were talking about home comforts. Maybe the weather is pretty good. Maybe you'll feel like there's some home comforts here. But do you worry about anything being on foreign soil? Maybe even the judges, anything like that? Any concerns that you have?
Well, first of all, I just think I've wanted to be on this stage, boxing all over the world on different people's platforms. Like, I didn't just want to just be a local fighter. Do you know what I mean? I want to go above and beyond that. So this opportunity obviously is not something that I'm really being fazed by. Having to come to his back garden in Barcelona and fighting him as champion, we all know, like, there's been some bad judges decisions. Kiko Martinez is a Spanish fighter. He came over to England and he didn't get the decision. I think he should have won that fight. So I'm hoping that I don't come here and they return the favour. But at the end of the day, it's down to me to go there and prove that I'm the better fighter on the night. And you know what I mean? Just keep pushing forward.
Xavier, from a coaching perspective, does that not, you know, like the leaving it to the judges, does not leaving it to the judges come into your thought process at all? You know, knowing like how you train, knowing like, you know, possibly if you could get the stoppage, obviously you want to get the stoppage, not leave it in the hands of the scorecards.
Yeah, I mean, with all my fighters, you know, regardless of who they're fighting, I always say to them, listen, we need to concentrate on you know, I concentrate on my boxer. I mean, if Kay boxes to the best of his ability, you know, he'll handle Sandor Martin. It's just about making sure he's right, you know, and he's had very, very good sparring. Preparation's been great. I'm just really looking forward to a good performance. You know, he's been waiting so long to be up at this level that now it's here, you know, it feels natural. You know, it's just the same as I speak about my coaching career. You know, we work so long and hard, you know, small hall shows, traveling here, traveling there, understand the game, understand the business. Then when you get here, this is what you've worked for.
Yeah.
So, I'm just excited. I can't wait till Friday. Can't wait.
Let's talk about Sandor just a little bit. This is his 40th pro fight, 37-2, 13 knockouts. Yeah. I mean, you guys must respect what he's achieved so far in
Definitely.
His career, yeah?
Definitely. I mean, I've watched him. You know, he's a southpaw. You know, he's slick. Quite difficult to hit with a clean shot. You know, he's clever. He's been around. You know, you can't sneeze at 37 odd fights. You know, he's been around. He knows how to look after himself. You know, but I know what I've got in my gym, and I know what kind of fighter I've got in cage. So, yeah, like I said, I don't focus on them. You know, I focus on my guys. You know, at his best, K beats anybody, compete with anybody. So that's what I'm looking for.
Is it fair to say that he is a few levels up from your previous opponents?
Yeah, well, I've been campaigning at local and English level. Now we jump in the British, the Commonwealth, and now going to the European level. Sure. And he's been campaigning at that level for a while now. He won the belt, lost it, he's won it again, he's defended it. So he's solidified at that level. But I personally feel that I'm above the level that I've been boxing at. And coming over to the IQ team from where I was before, I've just added to my game, and I'm a lot more of a more rounded fighter, and I think I can do more than Sandor. So on Friday night, I'm just going to expose him.
Yeah, speaking of the IQ team, I mean, you mentioned like your previous training setup, plotting and game plans. That wasn't really part of what you guys did. Is changing and being with Xavier, is that being part of the IQ team, is that some of the changes that have been made?
100%. It's been a massive credit to for me, because I've always had it there in the locker, but obviously it's taken Xav to actually to harness it, to bring it out, and not just bring it out, but actually fine-tune it to now, to say that I can actually do a lot of things at a high level, where before I was focusing on my strengths, like my power. But now, I'm just a much more rounded fighter, physically, tactically, and just mentally as well. Like, I just think I can go to the fight. I'm a lot more confident now, so I don't just have to knock him out with one punch. I can actually just take my time and box.
Where do you think that confidence comes from? Do you think it comes from your performances in your fights, or has it been in the sparring?
I think it's an accumulation of a few different things. Like, when I went to the gym, yes, I had decent sparring in my gym, but I'd never really gone out there and sparred the best guys. That's just really what we was doing. But since I've been with IQ, I've gone and sparred with Josh Taylor, sparred Luke Campbell, I've sparred Ted Cheeseman. Like, I sparred good guys. And before I was going down there, I thought I might be out of my depth. But when I've gone down there, I've more than had on my own, and they're calling me back for more work. So I sparred Ricky Burns. Like, it's just been a constant progression, and always adding new things to my game. And my fights, now I've had 3 10-rounders, and every one I was finishing stronger every time. So I'm just ticking all the boxes, and Xav's just keeping me very grounded. And obviously I'm 36, but I feel like I've still got a lot more to offer the game.
A lot more in the tank.
Yeah.
Matchroom's first show in Barcelona was back in 2019. It was in December, and it featured Martin against Joe Hughes. Yeah. The crowd, of course, was quite a partisan, passionate fan base that Martin drew. This time there's going to be no fans. Do you think that plays into your hands?
I think it makes it a lot more of a level playing field.
Yep.
He's obviously boxing at home, so he would normally expect to have all the advantages with crowd and, I mean, the hostile environment, because obviously we've seen Bradley Skeet come over to here, who's fighting the guy on this card. And, it can be intimidating. I don't know how I would have handled it, but now I'm not going to have to. It's going to be me and Sandor. It's going to be quiet, and we're going to be able to hear every punch that I land with.
You're currently ranked number 11 with the EBU in the rankings. Domestically, it's a cracking division.
Yeah,
it's a few guys. I mean, starting at rank number 10, Robbie Davies Jr.
Yep.
From Liverpool. Number 7, Tyrone McKenna.
Yep.
Terry Flanagan's at number 6.
Yep.
O'Hara Davies at number 5.
Yep.
Lewis Ritson at number 3.
Yep.
Obviously, he has the IBF final limiter coming up. Yeah. Jack Catterall's ranked number 2, and he's the mandatory for the WBO world title.
Yes.
There's some really big fights to be made out there. And then at the top, yep, in world level, obviously you've got Josh Taylor, who you just said you sparred with.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us a little bit about that work and about those guys?
Yeah, well, for me, I think Britain's got some good fighters at my weight class, so there's some real good matchups to be made. Obviously, I've jumped from English to European level, and for me personally, I don't want to sit around this level and see if I'm at this level. I just want to go again. So the likes of Jack Catterall, if he can get a world title and then put me as his opponent, I would love that. Obviously, we've got Josh Taylor fighting Ramirez for all the belts. Josh Taylor said that he wants to move up and he wants to go and fight the best up at welterweight, likes of Manny Pacquiao and Terence Crawford. So if he does win these belts, which I expect him to, and then he vacates all the belts, they're going to be scattered around. So therefore, beating Sandor Martin, who's ranked 7 in a lot of the governing bodies, mm-hmm. I'll get his position. So therefore, my name is credible to go and fight the likes of Jack Catterall, Terry Flanagan, or Lewis Ritson for a world title. And I think that's what we're working on.
Yeah, you'll be right up there. And you said you do believe that Josh Taylor takes the fight against Ramirez.
Yeah, a tough fight. Ramirez is like really good operator and good at his strengths, but I think Josh Taylor's got a few more things to his game that he can adapt and he can get over the line. But, you know, it's boxing. Like we've seen with Dillian, like things can go wrong, but I think Josh Taylor will get a win.
Yeah, anything can happen. You've also had two solid fights with a southpaw, Samuel Mason. So the southpaw angle, shouldn't be too much of a problem for you, right?
Yeah, I think that's why this fight, is written in the stars for me. I've had two tough fights with Samuel Mason, who's a good southpaw. And in the lead up for them camps, I was doing so much southpaw work. Shav's been ironing me out and making sure that all my angles are correct, because I think that's one of the most important things, doing the right things at the right time so that they can't actually utilise their awkward stance. I just think this is the perfect time for me to be fighting Sandy Martin.
Xavier, I want to talk to you just for a second about, you know, the tactical approach. You know, you come across as a real student of the game. Are you there like literally in the early hours of the morning watching YouTube and like making notes? Like, tell us a little bit about your philosophy. How does that happen?
Yeah, the transition's a bit different. I mean, I've gone from watching Betamax tapes to VHS, then to DVD, and obviously now you can watch fights on YouTube, but I've always spent hours and hours studying fights. You know, it's just not just about me studying one particular opponent. You know, it's just studying patterns. And that's why I just spent hours doing it. I try and encourage my fighters to do the same thing.
Who were some of your influences?
One of the main ones, Evander Holyfield. Complete fighter, was brilliant. Really liked James Toney. There was a lot of guys around that time. Ivan Robinson was really good, Shane Mosley. You know, some of the local guys, and obviously back in the UK, Ian Dapper Napper. I like Richard Williams. I just studied everybody, you know, just... at the time, obviously, I wanted to box. I just wanted to take something from them. And then when I couldn't box, I decided to get more into the coaching. So I'd already spent, like, years and years studying from since I was about age 11, 12.
Yeah. And, you know, Kay, you were just talking about Dillian White a little bit. You were in Portugal for a couple camps with Dillian. What's that been like to soak up that experience?
Oh, it's amazing. I think... it's something I can say that's, again, help push me on, because Dillian is a student of the sport. He doesn't just go and train. He watches fights. He knows a lot about the history of boxing. And just seeing how he operates on a day-to-day basis up close, knowing the sacrifices that he makes in order to be the best fighter he can be, I think it's rubbed off on me. And, I got a taste of it, and now I just want to just solidify myself at this level at least and push on.
Xavier, you were obviously in the corner for the revenge mission against Alexander Povetkin a few weeks back in Gibraltar. What was that like? And did it go obviously as planned? I mean, he obviously came out with the W. Did it go as planned?
Yeah, I mean, ever since I was appointed as the head coach for Dillian, was really confident in Dillian's ability anyway. I was really confident going into the first fight. I mean, we were winning every round. We made one mistake. Me and Dillian were just as confident going into the rematch. It's just, obviously, it's just a good feeling to get that fight out of the way after what happened in the first one, so he can put himself back in the position that he was in previously. And we're just looking to for the next challenge now. But yeah, the whole training camp for both fights was a good learning lesson for everybody. You know, we built a really good team.
Yeah, for sure. I think it takes a lot. I mean, I think it took a lot for Dillian to get right back in there.
Yeah, strong man.
With Povetkin. You know, mentally, I don't think enough was made about that. I think that, you know, when you lose to someone in that type of fashion and then go straight back into it, I mean, you're a fighter, you know, and he's a fighter in his heart. And I think that took a lot of gumption. So I like that he did that. Who would you like to see Dillian fight next?
I just wanted to get a world title shot. I don't want to sit here and name drop Tunis Adjei. You know, I think he's done more than enough to deserve a title shot. I mean, to me, he's got the best resume of any fighter who hasn't boxed for a world title. I mean, it'd be difficult for me, someone to say to me that someone's got a better resume than Dillian White, a fighter that hasn't boxed for a world title yet. I'll wait. I just can't think of anybody. So that's what I really, really want. Dillian will call me and say, listen, right, we've got to get back in camp. I'm fighting this person. You know, just everything with me and Dillian is just, it's just professional.
Yeah. You know, in boxing is, man, it's a funny game and it's funny how things work. I mean, you were actually part of Team Chisora when he boxed Dillian. Did that kind of, did the understanding and respect from the opposite corner, did that lead you into working with Dillian? Is that kind of how that came about?
No, not at all. Actually, Dillian's brother actually brought him to my gym. I think this was just after the Rivas fight. And, you know, we trained a couple of times together and then, you know, we were all just working together as a team. And we all went out to Portugal as a team, you know, but things happened and then, you know, I became the head coach. But, yeah, it's just been a progression the whole time, the whole way through.
As it should be. And Kay, you talked about, you know, how watching Dillian train has kind of rubbed off on you and you kind of want a taste of that. Yeah. But has he given you any like kind of specific advice? Is it more action based or has he dropped some
yeah, he sent a message this morning. He sent a message this morning actually. I'm not gonna tell you what he said.
I haven't heard it, but you know what Dillian's like, I'm sure it's gonna be crude and to point. But Dillian he's obviously a character and he's fun to be around. I mean, he's always got energy, he's always smiling. But when it's time to go to work, he turns on, he's serious. But the thing with Dillian is, like, I've been around some other good fighters, not dropping their names, but just in training camps and just, but Dillian would actually take time and would tell you, you're not doing this right, you need to do this. Like, he's very, very, very understanding of boxing. People don't realise how actually technical and actually how much he studies boxing and he knows everything to do at the right time. Obviously, it's life, sometimes you might make mistakes, but he does, he's very, very intelligent. So lots of time be sparring and he will come over to the corner and say, okay, you need to do this or you need to try this. And then and having successes from it. And I just think, do you know what? As much as he hasn't had a long career as far as he didn't do lots of amateurs, and I think the amount of time he's put everything into it and he's at a high level. And all I can do is just say, is sing his praises and just take as much as I can off him, like I do with Xav. Xav, like I said about Xav, as being a student of boxing, I'll be getting videos sent to me at like 12 o'clock. I've watched this guy, you need to do this, okay, in your next sparring session, or what do you think to this? Like, you have discussions as well, but it's like, it's never just when I'm in the gym, it's all the time. Like, I mean, it's my life, and I think that's the only way I'm going to maximize my time in sport.
I like that. Can you share us an edited version of what Dillian's message was?
I haven't heard it.
But what's the G-rated version, Zav? Let's end on that. What's the G-rated version?
He calls him Old Foot.
He gave me a video call this morning. Just said to wish K luck. Let's put it that way.
There we go. All right. And your new nickname is Sure Too. So it's K Sure to Prosper.
Sure to Prosper. Special K. You know what I mean? I'm always going to be special. But you know, this moment right now, I just want to make sure that I prosper and that we take this opportunity with both hands. All I can say, I've prepared the best that I've ever prepared and I'm going to give my all on Friday night, and I honestly feel that I've got what it takes to beat Sandor. They picked me, I don't know why they picked me. I don't know if they're thinking I'm an easy touch, but I know that obviously Sandor, he's not going on to relinquish his belt, so he's been putting in the work that he needs to put in to get the win. But I just think it's my time.
I love it. I can't wait to see the fight. And we're going to turn it over right now to the fan questions. So, all right, I've got a question here from Joey Hendricks, and he asked Kay, mm-hmm. Kay, with all due respect, at 36 years old, is it very much roll the dice at this stage of your career with the biggest fights possible and we'll see if you have what it takes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I want, like...
You're
like,
all in.
Yeah, I'm all in. Like, I had other options that when I was mandated to fight for my English, I was going to fight Harlan Eubanks. Good fighter. Maybe would have gave me a little bit of credit. But for me, it's a sideward step. He hasn't got nothing to offer. Sandor Martin, 3 levels above, let's go.
Let's go.
If I get called up to fight Rigas Proge, let's go. Like, whoever it might be, Josh Taylor, let's go. Yeah, and when I go in there and I give it my all, we see where I'm at.
Yeah, we talked about, you and I talked about this at breakfast this morning.
Yeah.
You know, you were like, dude, look, I'm 36. Like, I'm 36. I want it, let's go.
I want it, man. Like, my tank's good, but we don't know how long it's going to last.
Yeah, so Joey Hendricks, the answer is yes. Okay, at Barry BZB asks Zav, barring the knockout, the first White Povetkin fight seemed to go to plan. Was it difficult to digest what happened at the time?
Definitely. Very difficult. Because it just came from nowhere. We were in full control. So, yeah, definitely.
That must have been a really terrible flight home.
It was. It was. But the good thing is, of all the team members, it's Dillian's the one that stopped and said, listen, we need to go again.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, he's the one that actually picked everybody else up. And I was only home for maybe 11, 12 days, and I flew straight back out to get ready for the the rematch. You know, it got delayed, which meant I stayed out even longer. But, I just feel really pleased for him that he's back where he should be. You know, but, yeah, it was definitely hard to take. But, listen, it's a good learning lesson to everybody that I'm around and everyone in the gym that, you know, it's possible it could happen to you, but look at Dillian's attitude. You know, he went straight back in there, got his belt back, get his position back, and he's looking forward. And that should be the attitude of all fighters, you know, fight tough fights.
I think it should not just be the attitude of fighters, but of athletes and also just professionals. Yes. I mean, yeah. You know, my years in the NBA, you see these superstars and they go out and sometimes they get shellacked. They have a really lackluster performance. Mm-hmm. And the media, especially being in New York or in Los Angeles, the media will just crush you. Yeah, you know, one day you win and the headlines that, you know, you're the king of the world. The next day you lose. I mean, you're a heel.
Yeah.
And you have to have a really short memory and just go forward.
Thick skin, yeah.
Thick skin.
Exactly.
You got to have thick skin to be in the game and just got to move forward. They say there's a great stat, and I don't know what it is, but Michael Jordan, he shot X amount of shots in his life. I mean, he missed a lot of those.
Yeah.
Okay, he made a lot,
mm-hmm.
but he missed a ton of shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you just got to keep shooting.
Yeah,
you got to keep shooting. So that's what it is, and I like that. It's of course, it's a major letdown. And the thing I think that's a little bit harder with it with the fight game is typically fighters just have less fights. You know, with a basketball team or a soccer team, mm-hmm. you know, football team, whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
you have more outings.
Yeah.
Right, true. So you have another. You can redeem yourself quicker with boxing. Sometimes they come few and far.
Yeah, what made it even more difficult was obviously because the fight kept getting delayed.
Mm, exactly.
So, you know, we had to just stay focused and just keep working. So yeah, that's why I give all credit to Dillian.
Yeah, stay the course, eyes on the prize, and got it done. Okay, next question. MadHatter_14 asks K. When are we having a big show in Luton? Nice. That's where he's from. It's a sure. It's a little town outside of London, right? It's about an hour and a half from
yeah,
London.
Not even that, about 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah. But shout out to all my people from Luton. Luton's got a mad support. They really get behind their people. I've been feeling everyone's love and their energy. God, when I bring it back, and the possibilities and opportunities are there. One of my sponsors, JB Developments, he's the sponsor of Luton Town Football Club. So he's got options on putting on shows at Kenilworth Road or wherever Luton's based. And I think winning this European title, that will put enough bums on seats for me to put a show at Kenilworth Road. And also we've got some other really good prospects in Luton coming up, so the show will be massive. And I think it'll be a spectacle and something that I'm hoping can happen in the very near future.
I think it'd be great, but I do want to argue you with the 45 minutes, because have you seen the traffic?
Yeah, M25, stay away from that place.
All right, the last question here is from Bruno F., and he has Xavier. How do you balance the time between Portugal and the UK to train fighters? Is it strictly camp to camp, or like a certain period throughout the year?
That's a great question. Nice. Great question. Because me and my business partner, Nick was the other head coach, we spent so long building a foundation. So we do have a coaching team, you know, even with Kay's fight, you know, Kay's been around John Cole for a while, you know, he's here to support us with this fight. So there's always coaches there to help. So it hasn't been that difficult me going back and forth. And as Kay said earlier, I mean, he came out to Portugal.
Yeah, it's good for all the fighters, I think. Yeah. All the fighters get to taste that environment. You know, I mean, Dillian's world level and I think he's going to win a world title. And it's an enhancement to Team IQ because we get to taste that and we get to see what we can do if we put the work in.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's been a challenge, but it's been a worthy one.
Well, I love it. Listen, Xavier and Kay, thank you for your time ahead of Friday's show topper.
Can we do a quick shout out to the sponsors?
Yeah, go ahead.
You better shout out to your sponsors.
Go ahead.
Yeah, shout out to my sponsors. Like I said, JB Developments, Clemmer Consultancy, KMT, Tiger Bay, Ealing Boards and Timbers,
Foster and Foster,
yeah. SoGo. And the last one is all-time removals. So
all right.
Thanks for all my support because, you know, boxing is not easy, but they'll be helping get over the line.
Absolutely. Listen, it's been great talking to both of you guys, and I wish you the best of luck. And up next, we're going to hear from your opponent, Sandor Martin.
I'm going to be listening.
All right.
Thank you.
I am here with Sandor Martin, the European super lightweight champion and the A-side for our big fight here in Barcelona on Friday night. Sandor, it's great to see you. Another big night. We're looking forward to being here in Spain. And how's life? How have you been?
I feel good. I arrived in a great moment and I'm so excited to fight on Friday. With everything that was happening, I just have more desire to be a champion.
Yeah. So 2020 is very slow, obviously, muy despacio. You had a win, but you were always positive looking forward, in la futura, looking forward. This fight on Friday, it's the start of, you hope, to be a very big year. Gran año.
Yeah, I hope. I'm ready for the great challenge. 2021, it's a strange year, but I'm so confident in my possibilities to become a world champ.
Also, there's something over the past year, le año pasado, you wanted the gyms to be abierto, to be open.
Yeah.
You're a big advocate of this. You understand how important it is for the young people and fellow fighters to be able to ply their trade. Tell us about this.
Yeah, the boxing sport is so important for the people. It can help everybody and to stay in a better physical and mentally form. Boxing is the people's of the sport. It's the people's sport, and he help everybody.
Mm. So Matchroom are continuing to grow on a global scale. We're going all over the world, and the shows in the European market are becoming very popular. Are you very proud that you are maybe the main draw here in Spain?
Yeah, obviously. I'm proud of this. I want to bring the big nights and also see a Spanish guy in the top of boxing. That's a challenge for me.
And you think many good fighters here in Spain?
Yeah, have a good level in Spain with the boxers, but I'm one of the best, and I will make more in my career.
Do you find good sparring here in Spain?
Yeah, I have very good boxers in my gym and in general in Spain for training and prepare the fights. Finally, not only my level of boxer, if I need more help to arrive to this level, and that's so important. I have a tremendous team for here, and I will make thanks to all these people.
Now, on Viernes Noche, on Friday night, your opponent, Kay Prosper. ¿Qué tú piensas? What do you think of him? What is the style? What do you think of this fight?
Prosper is a dangerous fight. The Prosper fight is so dangerous because I think he was training it like an animal.
Yeah.
It's his opportunity, it's the opportunity of his life to be a champion, and I know it. I'm ready to have my best version. I'm the champ, but I'm prepared like a challenger. I'm the champ, but I like prepare like a challenger because it's a good opportunity for him. I need more. I will more in the sport of boxing, and that's is a most important fight for me.
It's a mentalidad de campeón. It's a championship mentality. I like what you just said. You are the champion, but you were trained like you're the challenger.
Yeah,
I like this.
It's so important. If you will arrive to the top, the line to across is very, very fine.
Yeah.
And you need train so hard in every fight to no surprises everyone. And that's the goal, right? Arrive to the world title.
Exacto. But also, I'm curious why you choose K Prosper, because voluntary. So why K?
It's a strange situation with all the COVID situation, and K Prosper he accepted to come here to Barcelona to fight, and he's a true warrior. He has a heart of warrior for coming here, and it's the opportunity of his life. And I think he was training like an animal, because he's his possibility to show the world. And I know it, and I like it. I like it.
And you want tough fights?
Yeah, I will the top fights. I'm not frightened with this. I will the top fights. That's another step to arrive to the world level. But I will fight in this level.
Do you think it's good for your profile to beat another British fighter. I mean, there's a lot of eyes on the show. Many people will watch from the UK, from England, you know, given that there are a lot of Brits on the card. I mean, a win in style will be very good for you, yes?
Yeah, that is very positive. I adore the British public and would like to have their support in the future. I want to win with flow on Friday. That's my style.
Yeah. And, you know, I've got to ask you this. When you signed with Matchroom, there were a few comments saying, hey, look, Matchroom just signed Sergio Ramos. you know, you even mentioned him. Obviously, he's a Spanish legend, the footballer. Does it make you laugh when people make the comparison?
Yeah, it's very funny. Things have happened to me with this. I'm better than Sergio Ramos, but he has the millions.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a problem. I think I need to talk Eddie Hearn to solve this situation.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really funny. Also, I'm curious, just for the fans, when you're young, what are your earliest boxing memories? Who did you look up to? Who inspired you to be where you are today?
I have always been passionate about boxing. I have no favorite boxers. My reference is boxing, his history, his legacy. That's the beautiful part of the boxing.
But was it anyone from Spain fighting or any fighters you saw that you really like, wow, this really got you going?
I'm loved of the sport of boxing. It's so difficult. I see great fights, great fighters. And I think for respect and to shock the world, Muhammad Ali as the best boxer in all the history of boxing.
The greatest of all time.
The greatest of all time, 100%.
Well, we just talked to Kay, and he's really ready for this fight. It's great that you have taken the time now to talk to us. I really appreciate it, and we're looking forward to a great main event on Friday night here in Barcelona. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joop, for the opportunity, and thanks for show the world this event.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Sandor Martin. Great talking to Sandor there. That's the end of our opening show in Barcelona, and tomorrow we're joined by Gavin McDonald and Steffi Bull, so make sure to tune in for that. We'll see you tomorrow, and until then, I'm David Diamante, signing out from Matchroom Radio.